Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. It is draft day today. There's plenty to talk about. More Timberwolves rumors from yesterday as we move into tonight's draft. What are the Wolves going to do? Will they stand pat, trade up, trade out, trade back? There's tons of options. Will they trade an existing player? Will they acquire a current NBA player? We're going to talk about all that, plus an updated big board. It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday. Happy NBA draft day. First time in 2 years, the Timberwolves have come into the draft with a first round pick. So a big day for Timberwolves fans, a fantastic day if you're an NBA fan at all. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff regarding recent rumors, et cetera, here on the show today. First of all, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. And in a moment, I'll tell you about everything we're doing tonight to cover the draft. But you can listen to the show regularly on any of your favorite audio platforms, as I mentioned, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. We'll be active on Twitter tonight. And we'll be live on YouTube tonight after the Timberwolves pick. We'll also have some additional reaction from Locked On and Odyssey experts. And so we'll get into all that here a bit later to tell you all the different things we'll be doing. But there's going to be a ton of stuff coming up on the audio feeds and on YouTube over the next 24 hours or so. So be sure that you're subscribed and that you are following wherever you like to listen to podcasts. I will say, though, the place to get the live reaction tonight is YouTube for sure. But everything we do will also go up after the fact on each of the audio platforms as well. All right, so plenty to cover. There were some Timberwolves rumors Wednesday. The Wolves are kind of, you know, in the middle of the draft and with some tradable assets, and so they're just kind of mentioned in a lot of different rumors. So I want to sift through all that and, you know, what's real, what's not, what's most likely to happen. I always like to set those expectations from where I sit, because I think, you know, it's very easy every year. It's, there's going to be so much movement in this draft and so much is going to happen, and there's all these rumors out there, and everyone wants there to be lots of trades, right? But what's the most likely scenario for the Timberwolves? We obviously don't know exactly what Tim Connelly's plans are, brand new to the front office. It was maybe a little bit easier to telegraph sometimes how aggressive Gerson Rosas was going to be. Connelly, of course, has been aggressive running the Denver Nuggets for most of the past decade, but has also, in the draft, hasn't necessarily traded up much at all. He's had a lot of picks with Denver, but has picked a lot in this range as well, even though the Wolves haven't really picked much in this range other than the Okogie pick from a couple of years ago. So all that to say, let's talk about some of the rumors first. I do want to close with some adjustments to my big board, players that I would focus on if the Wolves were to trade up or trade back within the first round. First, related to trading up, there is a rumor out there from Michael Scotto at Hoops Hype that there are multiple teams that have been talking to the Cleveland Cavaliers about acquiring the number 14 pick. He mentioned the Timberwolves, along with the Memphis Grizzlies and Milwaukee Bucks, as possibilities to trade up from 19 to 14. Obviously, in the Wolves' case, from 19 to 14. But all three of those teams are interested in the 14th pick. Who could be the target at 14? It's tough to say. Obviously, we don't know. But my guess is that this is typically, these reports are the tip of the iceberg, right? Just like the Capella rumor, the Wolves have obviously called more teams about more guys. And who knows? They may be closer to a trade on somebody else than they are on Clint Capella. Although, by the way, John Krasinski of The Athletic reported the Wolves aren't quote, close to anything right now, which makes sense. I've said all along, I'd be surprised if the Wolves do make a trade leading into the draft. Or at least I should say a major trade, trading, you know, a D'Lo or somebody like that, or acquiring a big name like a Clint Capella or Rudy Gobert, who we talked about both those guys on Wednesday's show. But at any rate, the discussion on the 14th pick, my guess is, and this is me inferring this, it's probably the Wolves have a guy in mind who is probably going to go somewhere in the mid-teens to late teens. And of course, the Wolves pick at 19. And they're probably wondering what's the cost going to be if we would need to move up five spots. So like, for instance, and I don't know that this is true, but say it's Tari Eason or Ochai Agbaji or you know, a couple guys that I think are very likely to go in like the 12 to 15, 12 to 18 range, who I really like and I think would fit the Wolves great. Say it's one of those guys, or say they're thinking like, hey, what if, Jalen Duren's on the board and we really like him, or if Jeremy Sochan, if he slides or something like that. the Wolves are probably wondering, hey, what's going to be the cost to slide up five picks? Is it one of our second rounders this year and a future second rounder? Is it as high as a future first round pick? Is it a player? Do they want Jalen Noel or Naz Reid? You know, what's the cost going to be to move up five selections? I'd be surprised if that, you know, that sort of trade doesn't usually happen before the draft, just moving up five spots, because at this point you need to wait and see who's on the board, because what if whoever they're hoping is there is still there at 19, right? So my guess is that's just feeling this out, but it goes to show that all these teams in this range have the possibility of falling in love with guys and trading assets to move up and get them, which that's related to the Sam Vecenie, John Krasinski article at The Athletic. And I want to get to that next segment. So I you know, put a pin in the idea of moving up for just a moment, because I want to touch on these other rumors very quickly. The first one is D'Angelo Russell. We know the Wolves have had those conversations. As Krasinski reports, they're not close on anything, but there are some reports out there regarding the Knicks and the Wizards, you know, still searching for a point guard. I believe that that's it was Bleacher Report, Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report, rumor with that rumor. I mean, it's not surprising. We know the Wizards want a point guard. We know the Knicks want a point guard. We've covered both as potential trade destinations here on the show. I think they're both unlikely for D'Angelo Russell, just in terms of the assets they'd be willing and able to provide the Wolves. So it'd be a little bit surprising to me if he was moved, but just wanted to say that that rumor is still out there. And then finally, a name we haven't talked about on this show in a while, and really hasn't been in national rumors at all in a while, is Miles Turner. The Pacers are now said to be, there was some stuff, I think Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN reported the last couple of days. The Pacers are really trying to reset now. They're open to discussions for really anyone on the roster. Miles Turner, of course, has been in trade conversations for a while. We know that Gerson Rosas had strong interest in Turner last offseason. And I think going back to the deadline prior, the Timberwolves had interest in Miles Turner. They felt like he was a big that you could pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. And I agree 100%. I know I spent some time this last week talking about how I'd be a little bit cautious about finding a traditional five, whatever that is nowadays, right? A five that doesn't really stretch the floor, is limited defensively in terms of switchability, some of those things. Be cautious about finding that guy to put next to Towns and think you're going to play them heavy minutes together. But Miles Turner is an exception because he is relatively switchable. He can protect the rim. He can stretch the floor a little bit. And he's a fascinating trade target in my mind. Now, this is just a passing mention again by Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report, who says that Minnesota, the Toronto Raptors, and Charlotte Hornets are all interested in Miles Turner. The Knicks have presented interest as well, but basically only if Mitchell Robinson leaves in free agency. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers traded Turner either on draft night or in the wake of draft night here in the next couple of weeks, maybe during free agency. And I would 100% believe that the Wolves are in those conversations. I like the Turner fit far better than I like really any other existing big fit, right? Capella would make the Wolves better. I worry about what you have to give up to get him and what you'd be paying him. Same thing with Gobert. But Turner isn't going to be as expensive. The contracts, obviously, they would need to extend him soon. I think he's only got a year left, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's just this year. You know, you're not going to need to give up as much for him, and the fit's better. And then you have to decide, what do we do in terms of an extension for Miles Turner if we land him? But that's a name to keep an eye on. Again, unlikely it's tonight, but a fascinating possibility. I think Miles Turner would be an awesome fit in Minnesota. Okay, I want to touch on just generally what I think is going to happen. I also want to talk about John Krasinski and Sam Vecenie and what they said about the draft. Vecenie, of course, is the draft expert at The Athletic. And a couple of players he would target with the 40th pick, his thoughts on 19, which I thought were pretty interesting. So I want to get into that, give my thoughts on his thoughts here next, and then get into some final updates to the big board. A lot to talk about still here on the program today. First, a reminder that tonight, one live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. Every show tonight for the draft is going live. Join me right here at Locked On Wolves 15 minutes after the Timberwolves selection at number 19, or wherever they do select, on YouTube for the immediate reaction from yours truly. Also, if the Wolves say they do trade out, which we're going to talk about that possibility here in a minute, we'll still do a live show tonight regarding that trade, right? So no matter what happens, we'll do a live show this evening. Also, I'll be appearing on the Locked On NBA show that they're doing with all hosts. So immediately following the pick, I'll be with them. Unless the Wolves don't pick in the first round, I guess then I won't do that show. But if they pick, I'll be on that show, and then I'll do the live YouTube program here on our YouTube feed. And then later, after all the second round picks, we're going to do a full regular show that will serve as Friday's episode regarding whatever the Wolves do tonight. If they take one player, if they take, they're not going to, but if they take four players, if they make a trade, which I fully expect at least one trade involving second rounders, you know, whatever happens, we'll break that all down on a show here this evening still. So the Locked On show that I'll appear on, make sure to watch that for your draft coverage. Have a second screen going if you're watching the ESPN coverage as well, but watch the Locked On coverage, watch our live, you know, 10, 15 minutes following the first round pick or whatever happens in the first round. And then the full show later this evening on YouTube as well. And all of our channels that will also post early Friday, or I guess it will post late Thursday as well. You can subscribe now to Locked On Wolves on YouTube, so you know when I go live here this evening. All right, before we get into the Krasinski-Vecini discussion over at The Athletic, let's talk about our friends over at Arcade 1UP. Boom shakalaka-laka. We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with a, wait for it, Shaq edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners you can once again play hoops with NBA legends. And this arcade classic jumped clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from Arcade 1UP. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others that start at just $3.99. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/locked on. Again, that's arcade, the number one, up.com/locked on. You got till July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? All right, let's move right along here. Let's talk about Sam Vecini and John Krasinski at The Athletic. Of course, John is the local Timberwolves reporter for The Athletic and does an awesome job. And Vecini is the draft expert for The Athletic. And they had a discussion about what the Wolves might do with number 19. And interestingly, Vecini said that he doesn't love the Wolves' positioning in this draft, which is not at all what my take was. Vecini is a draft expert. I am not. You know, studied each of the prospects I thought would be possibilities for the Wolves, or at least trade up possibilities for the Wolves, top 25 or so in the first round, more in depth than I did, you know, the rest of the draft prospects, full disclosure. So interesting that Vecini has this position, right? He says that he's got a big tier of players between number 10 and number 21. Of course, the Wolves fall within there, but he doesn't love the possibilities for Minnesota at 19. The one player he says he does like as a possibility is EJ Liddell, who I talked about quite a bit on this show. I did an additional segment beyond the big board on him. I've got him 15 on my Timberwolves big board. I don't know that he's a trade-up target. I think there's a real shot he's there at 19, and I think if he's there, the Wolves should take him. Vecini essentially says the same thing. He says that the Wolves should seriously look at moving the selection, though. The example he gave is last year, the Rockets moved two future first-round picks for the number 16 pick because they fell in love with Alperen Sengun. And he says, all it takes is one team. I always like to say in the show, all it takes is one when it comes to the trade market, right? All it takes is one team, he says, to be enamored with a single player. If they're in love with a player and say, okay, we need him, we can trade future picks. We can't leave this draft without player X, right? Without, you know, Jalen Williams or without, Jalen Duren or something like that. Jalen Williams, or who I've got a little lower on my board, but Jalen Williams or Jalen Duren or somebody like that, who's likely going to go right before the Wolves pick. If somebody falls in love with somebody, all it takes is one. And the Wolves, I'm sure, would take future assets to then, you know, pocket and potentially flip for a player at the deadline or something like that. I'm sure that Tim Connelly, the way he's talked about the pick, he was asked during media availability earlier this week, would you look at trading it? He said, yeah, we've exhausted all possibilities. We'd love, you know, essentially he said, we would love to trade it for an existing player, but we don't know what's going to be out there. That sort of a thing. They're completely open to moving this pick. My guess is there's a small window of guys or a small list of guys that they would like to get at 19 or possibly trade up if there's somebody they really like in that range. If they're not there, the Wolves could certainly trade out of this draft. And that's what Vecini is saying he would look at doing if he's them. He said they could also move back. He mentions Blake Wesley, Notre Dame guard. I talked a little bit about him. I didn't have him in my top 25, but he talks about trading back for Wesley, who's a little bit of a higher upside athletic, initiator type guy with a questionable shot. Actually reminds me a little bit of Josh Okogie as a prospect. Says the Wolves could trade back and get him probably later first round. There's a chance he slides into the second round, but he mentioned him as a potential good fit. So he talks a little bit about Liddell, who I talked about on the show, I think would be great at 19. So I agree with him there. John Krasinski asks in this article, he asked Sam Vecenie about Mark Williams, a center out of Duke, and how he's liked him and could he be a fit with Minnesota. And Vecenie says essentially what I've been saying on the show, which is he doesn't love the idea of taking somebody at 19 that isn't going to be able to be on the floor in a playoff situation, which is exactly true with Mark Williams. He says he likes Mark Williams a lot, but can you play him next to Towns because of the severe lack of mobility in that lineup? If you're picking at 19, this is a direct quote now from the article, the guy you're drafting should at least have a chance to play in crunch time lineups in those big moments, meaning the playoffs. He says it's not the worst thing in the world if the guy you pick ends up being a backup in this spot. I just think it's too easy to find backup centers who can eat minutes on the open market. I'd probably pass on Williams if I were the Wolves, even if I would really like his value if he were on the board. He also says he won't be there at 19. Okay, this is exactly what I've been saying. The Wolves can find a backup center to eat minutes and also play some with Towns, JaVale McGee, Bismack Biyombo. There's guys on the market. Those are the two that I like, but there's others out there that you can find. You don't need to draft a guy who's only going to play 14, 16 minutes a game, maybe a handful of minutes next to Towns. Even if he plays heavier minutes next to Towns, when you get to the playoffs, he's not going to, because teams will go small. They'll do different things that are going to force your hand from a matchup perspective. I give the example of Gorgui Dieng on Wednesday's show. The Wolves didn't play in the playoffs with Gorgui Dieng as a starting four next to Karl-Anthony Towns. They played in the playoffs with him as a backup five. I know Taj Gibson functionally offensively was more similar to a five than a four in today's game, but that was still a little bit different. And also they were the seven seed and were or eight seed and were eliminated in five games. So I 100% would get what Vecenie is saying. Mark Williams won't be there at 19, but it's also a reason to not take Walker Kessler out of Auburn, who we've talked about, another seven footer who's a five, who has some questions, good in drop coverage, great rim protector. Can he play high wall? Probably. Is he switchable? Probably not. Those types of guys, it's not proper asset allocation to take somebody who's got that limited of a role moving forward with the team when you could pick somebody up on the free agent market. You can trade this pick for future assets, or you could draft somebody, if the right players fall, you could draft somebody that's going to fit your rotation as a versatile, switchable piece, whether that's a four like EJ Liddell, whether it's somebody who's, more of a guard or a wing, like a Dalen Terry, or a guard like Ty Washington, somebody who's going to step in and play a role in the backcourt, especially if D'Angelo Russell's traded. So Vecenie has essentially the same perspective that I do, which I think is fascinating. And I feel a little bit vindicated that's also out there from a draft expert, that this range is just a little bit iffy for the Wolves, especially if they're looking at if they're looking to add a piece that's not specifically a center. The last thing he talks about is related to the second round. He says the Wolves should be in a good spot at 40, that there's multiple players, higher upside type guys. He mentions Peyton Watson and Josh Minot, who are both high upside athletic guys who didn't do a ton in college, at least not initially, have a limited, there's not much out there in terms of high level competition, but the athletic profile, the flashes they did show in college, the defensive ability now, and the likely offensive upside is really attractive if you're in the second round. And there's a few other guys he mentions too. So the Wolves obviously with three picks between 40 and 50, 40 is likely a pick the Wolves are going to use and pick somebody that falls out of the first round, maybe unexpectedly. Don't be surprised if they trade one or both of the other picks, or maybe they draft a European, an overseas draft and stash, or if they trade for a future selection, both are possibilities. But there's no way they're taking four guys in this draft. So those are a couple names to look for, according to Vecenie, in the second round are Watson and Minot as well. I think it's a good piece. If you have an Athletic subscription, go check it out. It's called Timberwolves on the Clock and the NBA Draft over at The Athletic with John Krasinski and Sam Vecenie. Again, EJ Liddell potentially at 19. I really like that idea. I also like the idea of trading out if there's nothing that makes sense at that selection. And I also agree with not taking a five, as I've talked about on the show. I just think that's really limiting for the Wolves in terms of asset allocation. Okay, I want to close by breezing through my big board, my updates to my big board, focusing on, I'll call it three guys that would be potential trade up options, a couple guys I like in the range of 19. And if the Wolves were to trade back later into the first round, who could they look at targeting? We'll kind of highlight seven guys here in a minute in total. So we're going to do that here next. All right, let's close the show by looking through my big board once more. So not a lot changed at the very top. I still have Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero, 1, 2, 3. For me, it's pretty easy. I know a lot of people, you know, Chet Holmgren's a Minnesota native. I think he's going to be a really good NBA player. Just real quickly, I think he's got a very high floor. He's going to be a good NBA player. And the ceiling is probably still higher than Jabari Smith. I just think it's more likely that Jabari Smith hits his ceiling than Chet Holmgren. A lot of that is, you know, frame and profile, things like that. But I think that Chet Holmgren's floor is still higher than Jabari Smith. So you can't really go wrong with either one. If I'm drafting for the Wolves, I think Jabari is my favorite player, and then Chet Holmgren would be second. Banchero third for me. A relatively distance, not the right word, because I'm obviously still have him third. Banchero is not my favorite in terms of top three prospects. But then I think there's a little bit of a drop-off. And then I go Keegan Murray is fourth. Benedict Mathurin is somebody I've talked about quite a bit on the show as somebody who I think would be basically a perfect fit for Minnesota. He's going to go in the top 10. He's rising on boards currently. I had him at 5 on my big board, and now I'm starting to see him mocked at 5 or 6. And initially he was like in the 9, 10, 11 range. So he's continuing to rise on the board, but a 6'6 wing with a 6'9 wingspan, you know, fantastic cutter, great catch and shoot player, shot 38% on three pointers off of screens, fantastic athleticism. It would be perfect in the fast break as a, you know, sprint to the 3-point line and get off a shot for the Wolves. Shoots off of curl screens, did a lot in NBA actions at Arizona. Really good feel defensively, a very good steal rate, which is always a good indicator of defensive ability headed to the NBA. Maybe less for wing players than bigs, but it's still important to show that he knows how to play passing lanes, et cetera. Some consistency issues, but that's really about it. He's not a playmaker, but the Wolves don't need a playmaker. The cutting and shooting defensive tools, the feel that he has, it would fit the pace the Wolves want to play perfectly. So if the Wolves got greedy or if Mathurin fell, he's a guy I would target in that 5 to 10 range, for instance. I don't think the Wolves do this, but a guy that I really, really like. I have Shaedon Sharpe 6. I have Jaden Ivey at 7 on my board. Jeremy Sochan at 8. And then another couple guys I really like at 9 and 10. Ochai Agbaji and Tari Eason. There's an outside chance one of those guys falls to 19, but they both kind of seem to be just slowly rising up most mock drafts into that. I'd be surprised if they were picked before like the 12 to 15 range. But Agbaji and Eason are both guys that would be fantastic picks for the Wolves. Agbaji, again, more of a wing. Then he is, you know, he's a 6'5 with a 6'10 wingspan, spot up shooter, 41% on threes. He's an older prospect, is 22 years old, was the best player for Kansas this year. Obviously they had a fantastic season. He shoots really well on dribble handoffs. Finch does a lot of that in his offense. He's a very good defender, consistent. He's really kind of the perfect 3-and-D player to fit the Wolves. The Wolves need role players. He fits that role. Even though he's 22, I think he still has some upside. He's continued to improve drastically throughout his college career. He's already a plus defender, and he's a plus shooter and cutter from day one. What do the Wolves need offensively? They need more perimeter shooting. They shoot a lot of threes, and they didn't shoot them all that well for most of last season. They need more cutters who understand timing, spacing, and can help, you know, balance the floor. He's also a really good defender. Ochai Agbaji is a fantastic option for the Wolves if they were to move up or if Agbaji was to fall. We're in the range now where some of these guys could fall closer to 19. Agbaji is an example of somebody where if he's on the board at 14, we talked about the Cavaliers pick. Is there a chance that the Timberwolves trade up to get Agbaji at 14? I think that's a real possibility. Tari Eason's another one. He's more of a big. He's a 4 with some, or really a 3 small ball 4. Played some small ball 5 in college, actually. A fantastic athlete with a massive wingspan. He's 6'8", but he's got a 7'1 wingspan. So functionally, the 4 is going to make a lot of sense for him at the NBA level. He's an awesome athlete, fantastic in transition, which again is very important for the Timberwolves. He's a lob threat, a great offensive rebounder. His second jump ability is really good. The Wolves like their second chance points, and Towns gets pulled away from the rim quite a bit on both ends of the floor. So having somebody like Eason would be really good. Physical on both ends, draws fouls on offense, which is important for the Wolves. Pretty much a perfect fit. I think his ceiling is maybe just a really good starter. He doesn't really put the ball on the floor. He doesn't create for others. But could he be a third star or a fourth star if you're including Jaden McDaniels as the third star? I think it's possible. There's similarities to Jaden McDaniels. I think the upside for McDaniels is a little bit greater and Eason's more likely to be a role player, but I think he's a little bit plug and play as well and would be a target at 14, for instance, if the Wolves traded up to the Cleveland pick there, or if he falls, which is possible, to 19, or if the Wolves really like him and want to climb higher than 14. I think he goes in that 12 to 16 range most likely. At 11 on my board, I've got AJ Griffin. I've got Malachi Branham at 12. I've got Jalen Duren at 13. The more I watched on Jalen Duren, the more I liked him. I initially had him 15 on my board. I moved him up a couple of spots. He's a fantastic rim protector, 6'11 with 7'5 wings. I think that he's got the possibility to do a little bit more offensively than a Mark Williams or a Walker Kessler, which is why I have him higher on my board. So he's an amazing rim protector, but he's also switchable on the perimeter. He's more mobile, more agile, better lateral quickness than Walker Kessler or even than Mark Williams. Played a lot of drop coverage at Memphis, but he can switch. And I think he can play high wall coverage, blitz the pick and roll on the perimeter very well. He sometimes gets caught ball watching, which is a little bit of a concern. There's some awareness stuff there that'll come with time. But he's really good in the open floor offensively as well. When he did play in pick and roll, he was good at, with his short roll passing, getting passes on the short roll and kicking it to, you know, Cutter on the baseline, somebody in the dunker spot. I think if he played more pick and roll, which again, he didn't do a ton of at Memphis, he'd be really, really good in NBA offense and be good in the Wolves offense. I think there's similarities to Jared Vanderbilt, obviously much taller. I think he's got better hands than Jared Vanderbilt. But if Cat plays some four, you know, as everybody seems to think he's going to this year, I like Duren as a prospect far more than I like Mark Williams or Walker Kessler. I think the upside is higher. I think he's got a, you know, peak DeAndre Jordan type ceiling to his game. Again, peak DeAndre Jordan, or maybe think a bigger Vando with better hands. You know, those are kind of my comps for Jalen Duren. There's a chance he's on the board at 19, but again, I think he's one of those guys they might need to go up and get. Perhaps he's their target at 14. That's me guessing. That's a possibility. If they are talking about, you know, bigger players, I think that's a possibility. I've Dyson Daniels from the G League Ignite at 14 on my board. I've EJ Liddell at 15. I've talked a lot about him, so I won't spend much more time on him. But he rose on my board as well. I initially had him at, where did I have him? I had him at 17. So I've got him there at 15 currently. Versatile forward, can guard multiple spots. He's probably more of a four at the NBA level. He's 6'7", but he has 6'11 wingspan. Good spot-up shooter. A physical defender, can help protect Jaden McDaniels a little bit in terms of some of the more physical matchups. I think he checks really all the boxes in terms of positional flexibility. He can protect the rim at 6'7", with 6'11 wingspan. He's a good shot blocker. A strong complementary off-ball player and would immediately help the Timberwolves from day one. So I love him at 19. I have him at 15 on my board. If the Wolves, if he's there at 15, or excuse me, at 19, the Wolves should seriously consider him. I have Johnny Davis. Excuse me. I have Johnny Davis from Wisconsin at 16. Usmani Jang at 17. Dalen Terry at 18. Mark Williams, the center from Duke, at 19. Walker Kessler at 20. I think if the Wolves are going to take a center, Mark Williams isn't going to be there at 19. I think Walker Kessler could work, but is the asset? I like him as a prospect. I think he'd be a really good backup, but is that the best asset allocation? My bet is the Wolves don't do that, but he would be an option at 19. Ty Washington Jr. at 21. Jalen Williams at 22. Ty Washington Jr., of course, out of Kentucky, is a guard who's he's pretty well-rounded. He was a high usage guy in college and a good passer. There's some similarities to the way he plays and his strengths to D'Angelo Russell. Doesn't get to the rim a lot. Really good mid-range shooter. Should be a good spot-up shooter, but a little bit inconsistent there. If the Wolves are looking to replace D'Lo with somebody who could carry a high usage scoring role, Ty Washington's the guy. I worry about him fitting in as a lower usage guy, which Jordan McLaughlin is, Patrick Beverley usually is. Those are the types of guys I think the Wolves want with Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns and eventually Jaden McDaniels as he takes on more of the scoring load, even currently with Malik Beasley, or if you're out there with Jalen Noel, some of these other guys that are better and more efficient at getting buckets than most high usage point guards are. So Washington to me can fine if you truly believe the upside's there. I think he's got a pretty high floor too, but he's not going to be as good as D'Angelo Russell from day one. So if you're trying playoffs and improve the team this year, replacing D'Lo with Ty Washington is not going to make your team better in 2022, 2023. That's a couple years down the road. So I don't love him as a pick at 19. I like him as a prospect overall, but I don't think he's where the Wolves are going to go at 19. And I do have him at, 20 on my board, 21 on my board. So, names to watch. A pie-in-the-sky trade-up option, Benedict Mathurin. More modest trade-up options or slim chance one or both or one of these guys falls. They're not both going to fall this far, but Ochai Agbaji and Tari Eason, who I've got 9 and 10 on my board. Another slight trade-up opportunity, or maybe he could fall, as Jalen Duren. An option at 19. My favorite option at 19 is EJ Liddell. Sam Vecenie at The Athletic agrees with that. And then Walker Kessler and Ty Washington as guys who, you know, mock drafts out there have the Wolves taking them at 19. I don't love them at 19, but they're names to watch. Players that could fit the Wolves, and I would certainly be able to build a case for why the Wolves took those guys if they took either one of them at 19. Again, trade back is a possibility, certainly. I think if the Wolves trade back, they're more likely to trade out of the first round entirely and to just pick somebody at 40 and, you know, acquire some future assets to use to flip in future trades. I think that's very much a real possibility for the Wolves in tonight's draft. All right. As mentioned earlier tonight, we'll be joining the Locked On NBA live show with all the various Odyssey and Locked On experts. All the Locked On hosts will go live to discuss their picks. Then I'll go live on YouTube here on the Locked On Wolves YouTube channel shortly thereafter to discuss the, you know, whatever the Wolves do tonight. And then later in the evening, we'll have a full show, you know, 30 plus minutes on the Wolves draft night, whatever trades happen, who they do select, brief profiles in each player. We'll break everybody down in more depth next week as well. But all your coverage, you know, tons and tons of live coverage this evening and Friday, and recorded into Friday regarding the Timberwolves and their draft picks. So be sure that you're locked on, subscribe to all the channels, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow wherever you listen to podcasts, whatever audio platform you prefer. And a big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can listen anywhere. YouTube, as mentioned, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can find the show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Going to be pretty active here this evening during the draft, giving thoughts on where players go, fits, and who may still be on the board for the Wolves. So be sure that you are following on Twitter. That's all we have for today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. If you haven't listened to the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, by the way, it's completed. It's out there right now on the Locked On NBA feed. Just search for the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft 2022. You can find over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, including former Phoenix Suns GM Ryan McDonough, gave his thoughts on all of our selections, including my pick at number 19. I took Ochai Agbaji for the Wolves at 19. That episode posted Tuesday. You can go find that on the Locked On NBA feed. The draft experts of Locked On NBA's Big Board are on there as well. It's a 5-episode Ultimate Mock Draft that is all posted on the Locked On NBA feed. Make it your second listen today. All right, enjoy the draft tonight. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. We'll see you tonight.